Welcome back to the channel to another episode of the Mitts and Twigs podcast. I am your man, Mitts. With me, as always, is Twigs. Twigs, how you doing, pal?
Great. Fantastic. Ready to have a fire episode, a little bit spicy. We're getting close to trade deadline. A lot of chatter, a lot of rumors, no movement. And I feel like, as NHL fans, again, you ask me how I am all the time, and then I like divvy off really quickly. Here's the reality, okay? We, as NHL fans, do not have the most entertaining deadline day anymore. It's the NBA. Like, there is no loyalty on both sides. Teams, players, they like break up like more than high school relationships. Like, I'm in love with Brooklyn. I hate Brooklyn. All three are out of Brooklyn. Like, it's just wild to me. Like, I'm jealous. I'm so jealous. I'm like, yeah, do I feel for the players? Yeah, because they're moving a bunch. They got to move their family. I listened to Mikal Bridges' like interview. He didn't seem pretty pumped about getting moved. But the drama, the suspense, is everything I want ours. We've got Jacob Chychrun scratched for half a week because he might get moved. Move him. Get him out. Also, the NBA doesn't give a crap about first-round picks. They'll move four in one deal. Oh, you might get a star. I'm getting this player today. Give me some of that. Give me some of that, Billy Armstrong. Trade him. Free chick. We want a free chick. But I'm good. I'm doing great. That was my little rant to go off. How are you, Matt?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. First of all, you blew right past my whispering bit.
I loved it.
Which is probably why we should talk about this before the podcast instead of just talking about anything but the podcast. It was going to lead right into throwing it in your Super Bowl hangover as a Kansas City Chiefs fan. But we're not going to talk about that now. We're not going to talk about it. The NBA is getting more and more wild. The players got the power. What I will say is my squad, the Toronto Raptors, for better or for worse, I was happy to see they stuck to their guns. They didn't really move anybody out except for Kem Birch. Kem, love it. Miss you. Also happy to have Jacob home. Welcome back, Jacob.
That trade surprised me. And here's why. NBA hat on. Like, aren't they supposed to be rebuilding like a little bit here?
I don't know. You're reading too many Raptors fan blogs.
No, I'm not.
This is a retool.
No, I haven't read any. Like, I haven't read any, but like,
the Raptors are in the position. Like,
they're not in a great spot.
They're not great. But here's the funny thing about the Raptors' position right now is the Raptors, a whiff of the Raptors wanting to maybe make some moves seemed to get out there. Then people were just beating down the door for their point guard and beating down the door for every other player on the roster. And now all of a sudden it's like, man, everybody wants these players. Maybe we should not just get rid of them for the sake of, getting rid of them. And I do think genuinely that any of them probably could have been had, but I think they stuck to their guns on their prices and they weren't just going to move them out for the sake of it. There's a good chance that Fred
Summer deals.
Fred and Gary Trent Jr. are probably going to end up walking in the offseason. They both have player option years that they both probably going to make a bunch more money if they decline those years and go to the open market. Raps won't be able to bring back both of them, and won't be likely inclined to necessarily bring back either of them. But hey, maybe they can do like a sign and trade to get for Freddie to get his max somewhere else, and they can get something in return for that. But I don't know. I mean, that was the, like you say, there's no loyalty anywhere. And then here it is, the Raps bringing back a guy that they drafted initially and traded for a championship, which is, pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, is exactly what Buffalo should do, is to trade some resources for Ryan O'Reilly, bring him home, boom, championship.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll do that.
We'll work out the details in the middle there. Yeah. But, you know, maybe
That was a pretty ugly divorce.
Nah, it's fine. It's fine. I mean, time
worked
heals
out now.
All wounds. Time heals all wounds.
That's
yeah.
true.
That's fine.
That is true. Nazem Kadri spurred the Flames a couple years ago, and he decided to rob them this past offseason.
Yeah.
And,
millions of dollars has a way of making things better or worse.
Maybe much, I don't know what worse. It is. Okay.
This, I think, let's, I think you get excited about this. This is usually something that gets you excited, maybe heated, but I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen the latest Vancouver Canucks Black History Month moral jerseys?
Yeah, I thought they were nice.
They're nice, right? They were slick.
Yeah, I think they're super sharp. I think they're honestly, here's my hot take. The NHL is failing in not playing games with that creativity. Like, 100%. We do the reverse retro. Do the reverse retro. They're great. Love the reverse retro. They're awesome. Especially the Flames. Best jersey out there. But then you see even like the Montreal Canadiens one. I got to figure out what it was. Did you see that one? Unbelievable. Like, beautiful. Let me find it right now. While you're talking about the Vancouver Canucks one.
Well, I mean, again, you talk about the NBA and how they get it right. The NBA will play in just about any jersey they can find that's different because, hey, that's something else that we can sell. That's money in our pockets. That grows it. It's different fans are attracted to different looks. I mean, the Raptors have a deal with Drake designing their jerseys, for goodness sake, that are just completely outside of their normal color scheme. But sells jerseys, it gets things excited. You see those really great Miami jerseys every now and then where they've got like the Miami Vice style teal colors to it. It's great. I think it's fun. It's what they should be doing. And instead, in the NHL, instead of having all these fun, exciting jerseys and growing the game and getting eyes on the game for all the great reasons and everybody getting excited, instead, the NHL waffles on pride jerseys and showing acknowledgement there, which really hurts their hockey is for everyone mantra. And then the best part about that, the most hilarious part about that, is when it comes out that, well, there's only three alternate jersey nights that are mandated by the NHL. Only three mandates.
Yeah.
We've got the military jerseys.
Yeah.
Right? What's the other normalish?
Breast cancer.
Breast cancer. Yep. Absolutely. And then the third league mandated alternate jersey worn.
Tell me St. Patrick's
Day. St. Patrick's
Day. I knew it! That's so ugly.
St. Patrick's Day.
So ugly. Yeah.
Let that sink in. Pride jerseys, people, I don't feel right wearing a pride jersey. St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
And how do they commemorate the great St. Patrick? With colored dyed Coors Light.
I love that. It tastes good.
Yeah.
So I passed you, I sent you the Montreal Canadian ones before we go on. It's also their Black History ones. They're fantastic.
Worries me a little bit.
You don't love them?
Oh, that's pretty sick. No, like, I mean, I was just worried about what
the I actually liked them more. Play. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I actually liked them more than I liked the Vancouver ones, just because I never thought I'd see Montreal do something like that. So I thought it was pretty sweet.
That's nice.
I own one of them because the Calgary Flames auctioned them off. I own the breast cancer one. It's not as cool as these other ones. I got ties to everybody.
Breast cancer isn't as cool as some of the other.
No, the designs. They're just not as cool as the designs. I'm saying breast cancer sucks. Yeah. Okay. Saying breast cancer sucks. First of all, that's my bad. We're not editing this. We keep it raw, except for one time we had to edit it because it was awful. But breast cancer is bad. I bought a breast cancer jersey, Rasmus Anderson signed jersey. I think it's awesome. But once they start putting out these ones, like Calgary did the Lunar Year one, mm-hmm. auction. Oh, they didn't even auction those ones, actually. Holy, what am I talking about? Those were raffled off in a 50-50, like early bid prizes. I was at that game. 50-50 was pretty high. Vancouver raffles all of them off, auction style. And they go for like $700 the starting bid. It's insane.
Yeah, well, that's because in Vancouver, you learn that only rich people can have nice things, and the rest of us should just be happy that we can be near those rich people. Yeah. Welcome to Vancouver. Welcome. Yeah, it's pretty. It's so ass backwards that you get these exciting new jerseys and you're like, well, we're only going to make this limited number and we're going to auction them off so that they can be exclusive. Mm-hmm. But then we're going to give some of those funds to the cause. And it's like, well, you know, you could just sell the jerseys and just keep selling them and continue to give those proceeds. Yeah.
I'm a big jersey buff and I love jerseys and all the different ones, even if they're horrible. Like the Weagle Stadium Series one for Washington that we're going to be seeing on Saturday.
I thought you liked the Weagle.
No, I love it. People don't, though. People don't love the Weagle. I love the Weagle.
People are
crazy.
Big Weagle guys are here.
Big Weagle guys. That's the title. Weagle forever, basically. I think it's cool that the NHL is doing this, and it's not even the NHL. Let me rephrase that. I think it's cool that organizations are taking the initiative and doing this. Finding artists that are close to these issues, letting them design it on like a crest like the Montreal Canadiens, like Martin St. Louis said, its history is very valuable and I don't want to see them wearing blue, right? So I think it's cool that they're kind of slowly starting to break these molds, even if the NHL is only going to mandate three of them, which just seems so stupid anyways to me. Like, it's a warm-up jersey.
St. Patrick's Day.
Hey, it's huge in the NHL. Lots of Irish fans.
Yeah.
I don't know. We could talk.
Gotta hang on to that make or break Irish.
Here's the thing.
Market.
The best part of that is the Irish jerseys, the St. Patrick warm-ups. And maybe I'll clip it in here. Yeah, these ones right here. They are the ugliest jerseys. Like, the ugliest warm-up jerseys you will find on the market are the NHL St. Patrick Days one. They're awful.
Now, let's be honest. Whilst nobody, for the most part, I'm sure there's somebody out there, but for the most part, people aren't offended by them. But if we took this context for anything else, this would be offensive. This would be cultural appropriation. And it's like a weird caricature of just being like, hey, Irish green jerseys, shamrocks, ha ha ha. Like,
yeah, really? I don't get it. That's the mandated one, but
I'm just glad in all this that, you know.
Where'd you get that second beer?
I'm smooth.
I was smooth. You must have like a couple lined up. Because just saw you take the one and it was like quarter left, and then all of a sudden, full beer. Woo-hoo! Listen,
we may not prep for the podcast, but I always prep for the podcast. You know
skills.
All right, that's this has been Jersey Rants, brought to you by St. Patrick's Day. Don't forget.
Also,
it's coming up again.
If you have like this burning urge, like this burning hole in like in your pants, right where your wallet is, that you just want to spend this money on St. Patrick's Day jerseys, just send me the money. E-transfer it to me. I'll donate it to a good cause. I don't even want the money. I'll donate it to a good cause, because the moment you put on that jersey, you're going to look like a douchebag. Because they are awful. And douchey. And ugly. They're ugly.
Send- Send all those e-transfers care of Tyler's burning pants hole.
Yeah. Yeah. Pants hole on fire. I have a t-shirt of just all the stupid stuff. Dog water, dead cat.
I saw somebody somewhere use the phrase dog water. I think it was on Twitter somewhere.
Yeah.
You said regularly.
You thought I was crazy.
I was like, oh my goodness, this is a colloquialism that I've never heard. I couldn't believe it. I went on a deep dive trying to figure out who this person was online.
That was my burner account.
Yeah.
Hey man, deep South boy. Deep South Alberta boy. I ain't that South, but deep South Alberta boy. We say some weird things. Rank.
I spent
dog water.
Rank, I know. I spent 10 years in Alberta. Never heard dog water.
You haven't been south enough. That's what it is.
I think I've been plenty south. I spent one night in Lethbridge. That was enough.
Birthing place right there. Meth City, baby. Methbridge.
Oh, man. Shout out Yaroslav Askarov. Celebration of the year so far. For those of you that don't know, Yaroslav Askarov, and I am looking down to read this because I'm not screwing this up, of the Milwaukee Admirals celebrated a 45-save shootout win by tossing his stick, laying down, and bench-pressing the net.
Give me more of it. Give me more of it. Like, that is what I want. Like, that, oh, some personality? Awesome. I'll take it. Yep. I'll take it every day. Was it defensive?
That's great.
Nope. It was clean. Was it like impeding anyway? No. Just did it.
Nope.
Game was over. Yep. Had a hell of a game. I think it was like a 45 save shootout win.
Yeah.
And his team was like badly outshot. He's one of the top goalie prospects in the NHL. I think he's ranked number two in the Athletic. I think they just released this week. Or number one. I can't remember. He's top two. I love it. I'll take more of it. Give me more.
Give the glorious.
Give the people personality.
Yeah.
You know, I want, you know, like we've had a couple of personality spots this week. We had that. And then we also found out how butthurt Patrick Kane is about the NHL not waiting for him.
Oh, man.
To take his time to decide where he wanted to go. And New York said, nah, nah, nah. We're going a different direction. I loved it. I'm okay with Patrick Kane saying it in the sense that, boy, did you look entitled.
Man. And see, this is the thing. Sports washing is a real thing, and winning cures a lot of things. And so over time, you know, people stop bringing up the fact that he assaulted a cab driver. People stop bringing up the fact that he was a cocky jerk because he won a bunch. He's probably got basically a Hall of Fame career.
Oh, yeah.
At the very least, like Ring of Honor, like
top American,
one of the greatest American players.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so at this point in the career, it's usually just kind of segues into a lot of like golf clap, like what a champion he was and what a career. And, you know, is he going to finish it off as like a storied career with the Blackhawks, or is he going to go, you know, basically do them a favor and be a trade asset to help the franchise and go for one last run? And is this the storyline, this heroic one last run by an all-time great? No. We get is a reminder that I fucking love that Patrick Kane is garbage. He is hot garbage. To come out and say that a player being traded from one team that's not your team to another team that's not your team, that has no direct impact on your team's success, bugs you. Because that's kind of where you want it to go. How friggin' old is this guy? Is it 14, 15? Yeah. I wanted that donut. Yeah. Patrick Kane, suck all the deeks. Oh my god, I loved it. And it's he hasn't stopped. He hasn't stopped.
I know.
Now he's coming out saying it's like leaking that Toronto and New York are the only area, only teams he's willing to go to.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Ha, well, New York, he's not getting traded.
Need you.
Yeah, he's not getting traded.
What was New York going to do? And even if Toronto was interested, they now are not going to give anything of value back because they know that they have all the leverage.
Oh, yeah.
So your storied career at the tail end, you spoiled little Brett. Oh, I just love it. I absolutely love that he has gone out of his way to make sure that we don't idolize and cheer for him as he runs off into the sunset crying with a wet diaper. Oh, I can't get enough of it.
Yeah, I've been eating it up. I find it highly fascinating because I'm to the point where it's like, I don't think he gets moved.
I don't think he does.
Like, I don't think he gets moved at all. And I think I saw a report today that somebody was saying, oh, there's an option that Patrick Kane will go to Edmonton now. Boy, I don't know if they're just trying to create like a market right now. Like, that's what they're trying to do. First of all, I don't think Edmonton needs Patrick Kane. If you look at this is hot take-ish. I guess it's not hot take-ish. If you look at Patrick Kane analytically this year, he is awful. Like, he is awful at everything. Like, at everything, he is awful. There's nothing good Patrick Kane is bringing this year. Nothing.
Yeah.
Now, I think Patrick Kane could be very serviceable in a different situation. He's not going to be the Patrick Kane that won 3 Stanley Cups in Chicago. The Patrick Kane that, like, could play, you know, his mistakes away every night. He's not that guy anymore. And you see that at the end of his career. But I love the temper tantrums. I love it. And I love that he's going to the media. Because, like, this is what we want. Like, this is like the Kevin Durant, James Harden kind of cramp. Right? Where it's like, oh, man. Like, I hate it here. I want to get traded. But this guy, like, it's awesome. I'll take it. Yeah. Like, I will take it. Do I hate, like, that, how pouty and baby he's looking? Yeah, sure. But it's entertaining. It's super entertaining.
Yeah.
And this sport needs it. Instead of the cookie cutter, oh, good team, pucks in deep, all that kind of stuff. And now we got like a superstar athlete, former superstar athlete, that's won cups, is upset that he took his time to make his decision because everybody was first on Patrick Kane. They're like, hey, Patrick, are you ready to get traded? He's like, well, for a couple of weeks before the deadline, I'll submit my teams. We'll go through that process. New York did the right thing. They went out and they're like, Patrick, you don't want to come here right now? Okay, we're going to go get Tarasenko.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
It's great.
I love it. Go to Now he might have to go to Canada. I know he doesn't want to go to Canada. I know it. I live in Canada. And you're telling me I'm playing in one of the biggest markets in Chicago and I had a chance to go to play in MSG? I'd go play in MSG. That's unbelievable. Oh, three slow claps for Patrick Kane.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you, Patrick.
Petty Kane. Patrick.
Thank you for just St. Patrick for for just being so just what we needed right now, which was, you know, something that caused drama, but was also so petty. No one's getting hurt. There's, you know, it's just a nice change of pace for it to be petty drama and not socio-political drama.
Yeah.
You know, that's really what we need. You know, it's like when Kyrie comes out and says that he thinks the earth is flat. It's like, oh, yes, thank you. Thank you. That's so good. That's fun to talk about. We can laugh about that.
Yeah.
We're all here to be entertained and just stop to remembering what the world is like for a few minutes. Oh, Patrick, thank you so much, St. Patrick of the Canes. It's just perfect. It's so absolutely perfect. I mean, at this point, I don't think he gets moved similarly. And I think, shout out the boys on the Chicago Tomahawk podcast. I see them on Twitter. They don't think he's going anywhere at this point either. I think he's narrowed his market. And I think that people just see this and they're like, well, I don't want to bring that in. But I think there's always a chance because eventually, now that he's had his temper tantrum, he'll have time to reflect and maybe accept an offer to move somewhere that he wasn't going to otherwise. especially considering he has moderately soured the environment he's currently in. So people are probably going to be less enthused about being, you know, giving him hero worship around there. So someone will come along, like a Washington or a Boston. They'll clean his diaper rash right out of there. They'll give him a fresh bottle, and they'll put him on a nice, comfy line with somebody. Not expect any defense out of him, and he'll be fine. But really, I don't think he moves. But there's always a chance.
I'd be shocked. Like this trade deadline's basically, what are we, 3 weeks, 2 weeks away? I think we might be 2 weeks away now. There's a real chance of it being a real flop. In the sense that I think there's a lot of teams that are on the bubble that are like more scared to sell, as well as also there's like this very promising draft this year with a lot of top end prospects and all that. And that's really enticing for a lot of teams too, where I don't think they're going to be bought. I think you could see some of the biggest names maybe closer to that date are Luke Shen, which is somehow like going to fetch a third round pick or second and a prospect. Mind-boggling. I don't think Patrick Kane goes. Is Jacob Chikrin going to go? I don't freaking know anymore, man. Doesn't make any sense. Is Erik Karlsson going to go? I don't know if that's feasible right now during the season. I think it'd be sweet. Just can't see that type of money being moved just because of Gary's cap. I don't know. It's interesting, but I'm here for the pettiness. I'll take more pettiness. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Safe pettiness. I'll take it. I will.
Fun, harmless pettiness is great.
Yeah. Look how many eyeballs I've brought.
I think there's going to be... I think given how wild last year was and how some of the prices were astronomical and ridiculous, looking at Drew Florida Panthers, I think that there was always going to be a swing the other way this year where the people were going to be more cautious. Yeah. And I think this year what's deceptive, because I'm cautiously optimistic that there are going to be some interesting and fun moves to still talk about. But I think what's deceptive is that the big names out there are almost, to my eyes, less likely to be moved, like your Chikrins, because the price is too high. It's prohibitive. And the teams that really want them don't have the cap space, don't have the ability to make the moves. But you could see in the offseason it being a lot easier to do. Patrick Kane, who's soiled himself in the market for himself. Like you said, Erik Karlsson, any team would kill to have him, but he's not a rental. And where are you going to put that contract? And then even to look at the Blue Jackets, I think it was like this week we saw one day that Gavrikov was being shopped, and the next day that the price one team was told that was not moving was a first, a second, and a third round pick, I think, for Gavrikov from Columbus. And like that to me, you know, like we do fantasy hockey, that seems to me like those types of like, go F yourself trades, you know? Someone's like, hey, will you move this guy? And we're like, yeah, sure, here's my price. Where you're like, oh, you could have just said no.
Yeah.
Why would anybody pay that? Okay, thanks for taking my call and wasting my day. But I think that because of that, because those big names aren't going to go, they're going to take also a lot of tension off of things. I think there's a lot of pieces that are going to move. The Blues could easily move Ryan O'Reilly if they see fit. Because it makes sense, and there will be a market there, and they'll get a decent enough return.
Carolina.
Not going to be a blockbuster.
It's going Carolina.
They don't need the center depth. They're not going to Carolina. Don't be crazy.
He's going Carolina. my sources.
Barbashev. The Blues could move Barbashev again.
Can we just hold up on Barbashev here for 1 second? The price for Barbashev is insane.
Inflation, baby.
It is insane. And the Flames have been linked, and I am terrified. Terrified of that price. I think at one point it was like a second round pick, and then the other day, so I was like a first and a prospect. And I go, what?
Like, I mean, you know,
I like Barbashev, but for a first and a prospect, man, like, come on, what are we doing here? But then I gotta watch what I say, because I'm over here begging for the NBA where they don't value picks. Right? Yeah. They just go ship them out, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, outside of the top 10, like the percentage of whether or not that player is ever going to be impactful or have any kind of NHL career, it starts to plummet.
Oh, yeah.
And anything out of the first round is like, a coin toss would be overly generous, at least in terms of like top six, top pairing D or anything like that. And so that's, I would like to see more movement like that, but you know, that's how you get the cheap homegrown guys. I think there's going to be a lot of, I think there's still going to be a good number of trades because there's only a handful of teams that are like Boston is a lock. Toronto is probably a lock. Tampa Bay is playing so well, they're a lock. The West is kind of wide open where all like the preseason favorites are struggling. Oof. And a bunch of teams kind of that we thought might have a chance are almost running away with it. I think there's going to be a lot of small shuffly moves like that, but I think that's going to, that breeds the market for a team to be like, well, geez, we're not out of it, or we do have a shot. And, you know, all it takes is for one or two owners to get a little burning hole in their pocket and call downstairs to the GM and say, I want some playoff revenue, make it happen. Next thing you know, Blues have a very quick retool and we're all happy again. So
I still like, I you're talking about like a vast amount of deals, which are, you'll probably see. Are they game changing deals? No, I don't know if they're game changing deals. But then at the end of the day, I know I said it last year after the trade deadline. A lot of the times the people that win the trade deadline don't win anything in the playoffs. Florida was just on a suicide mission to spend every asset they possibly could to help them like with their President's Trophy year. Giroux,
all he needed was a coach.
We're not doing this. We're not doing this. It doesn't usually pan out. So we'll see. I you name some guys: Barbashev, Ryan O'Reilly, Chychrun. Please, for the love of God, save. Just free him. Just free him. Just free. Just trade him to LA. It was already almost done. Just pick up the phone, finish the deal, free us all, give us something to talk about. But we'll never know.
I tell you what, there's two names. It could be just one of them. That if I see them in a trade, we're popping bottles. And one is Marco Scandella, because we need to get his $3 to $4 million off the books ASAP. Yeah. And the other one is Torrey Krug. And Torrey, no disrespect, you're a decent, solid defenseman. But we've got like three other guys that do the exact same thing as you for the exact same money for the next, I don't know, 45 years. So we could afford to move you out. You know, for nothing, if anybody was so inclined to.
Well, I read an article today from the fourth period. Take that with what you like, with a grain of salt. They're not usually right. The Flames have been checking in on your boy, Mr. Colton Parenko, which makes no sense to me. First of all,
I mean, he's won a cup.
Man, that contract is ugly. That contract is ugly. I just don't see it. Also, they said Mackenzie Weegar is going to be moved, which is crazy to me. Doesn't even make sense. He's been our best defenseman. Like, Mackenzie Weegar's been our best defensive defenseman all season.
Yeah.
Tanev has been hurt a couple times. Rasmus Anderson's been great offensively. Noah Hanifin's taken strides. Michael Stone is just a freaking body. He's just out there. And Nikita Zadorov. I love Nikita Zadorov, but my guy, you ain't good defensively either. So I guess the threshold isn't very high, but it is what it is.
Trade rumors. Let's make sure that we're on the same page here. And I threw this into the group chat this past week, and I immediately regretted speaking to any of you. But maybe we can have a little bit of a better conversation here. And let me expand on it. If money's not an option, if the, you know, like both the salary and the cost of the trade, and health isn't an option, because that kind of plays a role in one of the guys right now. There's three centers out there, impact players. Because I think I screwed them, one of them. But if you got the choice of one of these three guys, who are you bringing in? Taze, that's Jonathan Taze for you part-time fans. Ryan O'Reilly, recent Stanley Cup winner and Conn Smythe Trophy winner, Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Mini Timo Meier.
Timo Meier. Easy.
Yeah.
Not even close.
But who's your number two?
Ryan O'Reilly.
There we go. That's all.
Yeah,
we
John
need.
Jonathan again. Yeah, Jonathan Taves. I love Jonathan Taves. 10 years ago, he was great. It's great. It's great.
Yeah,
but I think, and this is what doesn't make sense to me about the Sharks is, yeah, go ahead and move Erik Karlsson. That's fine. I think if you can, and basically if somebody's going to just take him, right? Especially if they're not going to retain any money. They went and signed, we talked about this last year too, Thomas Hertl to that crazy deal. It's like an 8-year deal. And that's the deal that you make when you're like, hey, we're still going to compete, still going to go for it. You don't make that deal when you're like rebuilding. Timo Meier is better than Thomas Hertl. Like, Timo Meier is really good at hockey, and he's begging to go to New Jersey because that team's a wagon. Send him over. It just doesn't make sense to me, though. Sorry to like expand on it. And I'd love to have like a conversation with the GM or an assistant GM or somebody like that and just be, okay, so Thomas Hertl, very valuable to your team. You love him, all that. But you don't want to sign a winger whose value is more, especially to, we talked about in our group chat too, game score. He brings more to the game than, say, what Thomas Hertl does, but he's expendable. You know what I mean? Like, but he's also younger. And so you weren't going to sell Thomas Hertl, which you could have got a, like last year, you could have made a killing on Thomas Hertl at the deadline. But now it's time to move an even better player, a player that you're going to try to like go out and like redraft. You know what I mean? Because he's that young. All because you're scared of his qualifying offer. That's $10 million. He's a $10 million player playing on a terrible team. Somebody's going to give him that money. If it's 9 or 9.5 or 10, he's going to get that money. He's good. But I'd love to have that conversation where they go like, we want him. We'll commit to him. We won't commit to him. He's expendable. He's tradable. Because I sit there and I watch Timo Meier, and I've watched him a couple times this year. I watched him a bunch last year. He's a crazy good player. Crazy good. But without a doubt, that's the only player I would trade for this season. Only player.
Yeah. So why do you think Ryan O'Reilly goes to Carolina when Timo Meier is a much better fit?
I think what I've read, and this could change because Carolina is always good and they seem to always make the big deals. New Jersey's now lost out on Kevin Fiala, Johnny Gaudreau, Matthew Tkachuk. There's one other winger that was right before that too. They lost out on too. They were all in those runnings this offseason and they settled for Palat. And I think what you're starting to see is Fitzgerald. This is the guy we want. When you're ready to go, tell us. We'll pay your price. Even if you have a better deal, you call us right after. We'll up our deal to match or be better than what that other team's offering. I would basically take it to the bank right now that I think Timo Meier is going to be a New Jersey Devil. I also don't think that Carolina wants to spend those assets. I don't think they're that type of team. They've made a lot of smart hockey deals, right? You look at their Dougie Hamilton deal that they made with Calgary. Didn't involve any draft picks. They also got Adam Fox in that deal, hoping that he would sign there in Carolina. He chose no. Went to New York. The Kotkaniemi deal, which has seemed to work out. The Pacioretty deal, which was no assets. It's just basically, here, take him, right? Which didn't work out because he got re-injured. But I don't know if they love spending draft capital, like draft capital, the same way as a desperate team like New Jersey, who wants to like finally get in there, make some noise. They got their superstars going, give it to the fans, all that kind of stuff. I think Carolina's a little bit, they're one of the smartest organizations out there. And I think Ryan O'Reilly fits everything you want in a playoff series. Mm-hmm. I think if you could move one of your centers right now to the wing, that works out fine. You're not going out to pay get Ryan O'Reilly to play 20 minutes, 18 minutes. Anywhere from the 13 to 15 minutes just to strengthen your lineup works really well for them. And that's where it is. That's why I think.
That's pretty Ryan O'Reilly's,
I don't know if it is, but I just think, I don't think Carolina needs to go home run swinging, right? Like I think you could probably get Ryan O'Reilly for a great price. I don't know what grade is, but it's probably not as expensive as the other guys. And it just fits. It just feels like a Colorado Carolina type of deal, you know, where they're not going to do anything crazy. Even Tampa, it feels like a Tampa kind of deal where New Jersey's going to go just swing for the fences and pay a ton for Timo Meier.
Yeah. But, see, I see everything that Jersey's done, and I think they're gun shy. I think they're cheap in that sense. I think they want that, but they have their set limit, what they're willing to pay or what they are willing to give up, and they won't go beyond that. Whereas other teams will walk up at that line, see them hesitating, and go for it. So I think I see Timo going to Carolina because
that'd be great. I mean,
they've got a tougher road, and I think in a lot of ways they're probably frustrated after the last couple of years because they felt and looked like they could be there and that hasn't gotten there, and they're going up against behemoths, you know, multi-time recent Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning, Boston Bruins, who are having one of the best seasons in the modern era. You know,
pay that man.
Arguably one of the, if not best, actual best hockey players today, in Austin Matthews and the Toronto Maple Leafs, and a very good team as well. I think that's where, like, I see them going harder and loading up and being willing to make that push, because they've been in the playoffs and falling short, whereas New Jersey's still trying to get into the playoffs. So that's why I see them further along and more desperate. But I think Jersey, I mean, holler at your boy if Brendan Saad is the exact thing you need, and he's relatively inexpensive. So come on down to St. Lou. We will give you Brendan Saad. Heck, we'll give you Torrey Krug as well. Then you got goal scorers on the wings. You got goal scorers on the back end. You can't lose.
Yeah, I do want to push back on your Carolina, New Jersey take just a little bit. I love this debate. You just have to look at Dougie Hamilton. Carolina was not going to go there. They were not going to pay Dougie Hamilton that price. They were like, nope, this is our set price. Same with Ned. We're going to move Ned to Detroit, which I called crazy at the time. And I look like an idiot now. They're like, we're not going to pay Dougie, but we will. And then New Jersey's like, you're not going to pay this guy? Okay, we'll pay this guy. And they got him, right? At that time, New Jersey was not a playoff team, not even close to a playoff team. Everybody mocked that sign. They're like, oh, cool. What's he going to do for you? Right? Like, but now it's worked out. And I think they're about to do that with Timo Meier. I think you're right. I think they weren't going to go that price with Johnny Gaudreau. They only offered him 9, which to this day seems crazy to me. They weren't going to, Matthew Tkachuk was not on their list. And Kevin Fiala got sent to LA, which wasn't a really crazy price at the time. But I'm pretty sure Minnesota got back a Minnesota kid that they really liked. So we'll see. It's going to be one of those two teams. And what's the other one? There was Vegas in there. I don't know how Vegas even does that. Like, they have zero draft capital. They have zero prospects. They have zero nothing. But I know they have an owner that wants one thing and one thing only. Playoffs. I don't know if they have the team. Like, Mark Stone's out. That's a huge loss.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they'll it's Vegas. Maybe they can just, you know, write an IOU or get a marker or something, you know, and then, you know. Last note we'll touch on, gang, before we'll send you on with your day. Just an all-time great article this past week in the Toronto Star, suggesting that the Maple Leafs need to fire Sheldon Keefe and Bruce Boudreau. Now, you're not going to find bigger fans of Bruce Boudreau than here on the Mid Twinks podcast. Big Brucey B guys. To suggest that not only is this a possibility of firing Sheldon Keefe and hiring him, but that it's the thing to do. Is just this is right up there with Patrick Kane and his petty bullshit. It's fantastic. It's hilarious. No serious hockey fan no general hockey fan can even look at that with a grain of salt as anything other than a ridiculous BuzzFeed style clickbait article. And it's
unbelievable.
in like a national syndicated column by a very well known,
Mr. Cox.
infamous sports writer.
This is why Mr. Damien got fired by from Sportsnet. Like, these takes are just ridiculous. Like, they're spicy takes that you always see, like the Stephen A. takes, or like any type of, like, you know, talking box. There's always hot takes, and then they're stupid. Like, there's just stupid. And if you want to, like, understand what Toronto media is and the Toronto fan base and that whole marketplace, that's it. Like, just overreacting. They have a great coach. Again, Kyle Dubas isn't signed. Makes no sense to me. You're not going to replace him with anybody better. Has he made the big splashes? No, but when he's tried, it hasn't worked out. So this year he's being more patient. Good for him, right? Like, that's what you're supposed to do. But no, Sheldon Keefe is not going anywhere. That guy's a coach. The one thing I would like Sheldon Keefe not to maybe start doing, every time your team gets blown out, maybe don't publicly shame them. Like, that seems weird to me. Like, maybe it's part of you too, you know what I mean, Sheldon? But like, I feel like he blasts his team a lot, like, publicly when they lose. But he also compliments them a bunch when they're winning and all that stuff. I don't know. It doesn't even make sense.
He loves
sense.
Hard. He loves hard and he hates hard. What can you say?
Basically, I love whatever. What a stupid
take. Yeah, go ahead, finish that sentence.
No, what a stupid take. Ah, Damien Cox, man, he's such an idiot. He's so bad. Like, he is so bad. How did the star even be like, yeah, we'll run it. Yep, we'll do it. Whatever.
I mean, it's probably not the most egregious article in their newspaper, but
that's true too.
Woo, we're sticking to hockey. We're gonna stay in our lane.
We've been all over the map today.
Yeah, you've been arguably drunk driving.
Whoa,
rhetorically, not actually driving. I just mean in terms of swerving through the different topics on this podcast.
It is what it is. It's what I do. Blurred vision and all.
Glorious. Absolutely glorious. Oh, gang, thank you all very much for sitting with us and getting through this. And we really appreciate it for another wonderful episode. We'll see you again next week. We got our Family Day weekend coming up, bud. Any big plans for the family on Family Day weekend?
No.
Glorious.
No, nothing, man. I got nothing.
Wonderful. All right. Well, you're killing it. Well, gang, I hope you all have more exciting plans than we do. Tune into us next time. Find us on YouTube. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, any podcast network that you can find us on. We're there. Twitter as well for a little while longer. We don't have the blue check mark, but that's because we don't pay despots. So, no. For my man, Wiggs, for myself, Mitz. Thank you all so much. Be kind to each other. See you next week.
Go Chiefs, baby.